look at the next imperative. It's a different imperative this time. It's not an aorist imperative. It's a present tense imperative. Last week we finished verses 7 through 10, which is a string of 10 aorist imperatives of urgency for the Christian to repent and to return to God. That section was a rebuke against worldliness. And thus far, the whole chapter 4, is against worldliness. Now in verse 11, James directs our attention to a specific example of worldliness that needed to be rectified. And that is evil speaking. It was an area in which the Christians James is writing to were deficient in. An area in which they were not submitting themselves to God. An area in which they were not humble before God in. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. James has already spoken to us in detail about the sins of the tongue. It is a theme now that he must return to. For worldliness will manifest itself in the way we treat our brothers and sisters, and especially the way we speak about them. So James exhorts us, stop talking against each other, brethren. And as we look at this text, I want to first observe that James calls them brethren again. It's a term that he will use 15 times in the epistle. Previously, as we work through chapter 4, James was very sharp in his address to these Jewish Christians. If you remember, he had called them adulteresses and even murderers, that is, in a metaphorical sense. He called them dirty-handed sinners, called them double-minded, and that they needed to repent. But now, he calls them brethren again. It is an affectionate term that he uses quite often. James is a pastor, the presiding elder in the Church of Jerusalem, a church that probably had around 100,000 by some estimates. And he's learned to be direct. And he's learned to be straightforward in delivering the Word of God. And he does just that in our text this morning yet again. Speak not evil one of another. In the second place, I want to consider the verb for speaking evil. This verb, kata laleo, is used 5 times and consistently translated and rightly translated, speaking evil of or against someone. The noun and the adjective forms are used 3 more times, denoting backbiting and slander. Now this Greek word, kata laleo, is a compound word from the preposition kata, meaning down, and laleho, to speak. So literally, it is to speak down on someone. It is to speak against someone. And the kata, the preposition, denotes some kind of hostility. It's to defame one's character. It's to slander one's reputation. It's to belittle the worth of a person. This is known as the sin of detraction. That is, detracting from a person's reputation and character. Taking away the worth and value of a person. Demeaning a person's reputation. And speaking degradingly about someone. This is to speak against someone. Now, in the third place, I want you to consider some of the particulars about this verb. It is a negative commandment. We are commanded not to do this. Also, the verb is in the plural, which indicates that this sin of the tongue was prevalent among the Jewish churches James is writing to. And it is also, as we mentioned earlier, a present imperative. They are to continually not do this. And that is, they are to continually watch and guard about their tongue. Now, in the fourth place, I want you to note the context. The context of this verb, not to speak against, is one another. Speak not evil of one another. Alelon. When he says one another, he's speaking of members of a church. He's speaking about the communion and fellowship of a church. This one another is a very important New Testament term, and it describes church life. If you go to your Bible Works program, which many of you have, and you do a search for the term one another, you'll see many things. We, as members of a local assembly, are to love one another. We are to have compassion of one another. We are to consider or understand one another. We are to comfort one another. We are to show hospitality to one another. We are to serve one another. We are to pray for one another. We are to exhort one another. We are to admonish one another. We are to forgive one another. We are to edify one another. We are to forbear one another. And to be kind to one another. This all describes the life of a New Testament church. These are biblical responsibilities that presuppose New Testament church membership. But never, never are we to speak evil of one another. This is forbidden. Peter writes, 1 Peter 2:1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings," same term there. All evil speakings. Every evil speaking. These things are to be laid aside. This verb, to lay aside, means to cast off. To throw it off you. And its middle voice denotes that it's your responsibility, your duty, to cast off evil speaking. Are you making a conscientious effort to do this? Are you making a prayerful effort to do this? To cast off this terrible sin of detraction? James says we are to continually do this. And that means we must continually be seeking the grace and the help of God. We are to be putting a guard upon our tongue to keep our heart and to be prayerfully seeking the enabling grace of God. For it does not come natural to man to do this. For you remember what James has told us about this instrument called the tongue. It is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. And the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, at the bottom of detraction, this sin of slander, is man's pride. That's at the root of it. Man's pride and his love of self. James has just commanded us in the previous verse that we are to humble ourselves before God. But detraction is just the opposite. It's rooted in pride, making oneself bigger by belittling others, tearing down others to make yourself look better. It's a sin of self-interest to build up yourself at the expense of others, discrediting others, that you'll be found better in someone's sight. If it makes someone else look bad, it makes you look better. You see, a detractor seeks to vilify the worth and value of others. He wants for himself the esteem and praise of men, and he's jealous when others get it. A detractor is envious. He doesn't like to see others thrive and flourish to get attention and to gain the esteem of men. It's as if when someone else gets the esteem of men, it's as if it's an affront to them. Detractors go hunting for faults in other people. They look for defects and blemishes in people so they can disgrace their good name. And they tear down the reputation of others. And they think they are building up themselves. They have a habit of putting down others and putting an evil spin on the behavior of others. And they deliberately misconstrue and misrepresent words spoken by others. This evil speaking, this detraction, has many forms. Charging others with faults that they are not guilty of. Exaggerating or distorting the truth about someone. Speaking rumors of things you don't know the truth about. Conjectures and speculations that damage a person's reputation. Twisting and misrepresenting one's words. Deliberately misconstruing what a person has said for their disadvantage and for your advantage. Putting an evil spin on things. Making suggestions and innuendos about others. Joking in a derogatory sense. And deliberately concealing part of the truth to prejudice the interpretation of the hearers. Giving people slanderous names that they don't deserve. Making fun of people with derogatory names. And the list can go on and on. It's a very broad sin. But the bottom line is, a detractor is seeking to belittle and devalue one's reputation. There can be no greater injury to a person than to spoil their name and destroy their good reputation. Proverbs 22:1 tells us, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." Than great riches, more than silver, than gold. A good name is precious to a person. And detraction seeks to destroy that. To assassinate a person's character is a terrible thing. And what a travesty it is to find it prevalent among the people of God. The sin of detraction in its various forms, such as gossip, can suck the spiritual life right out of a church. I've had one terrible experience where detraction was so prevalent you could cut the atmosphere of worship with a knife. Look at what James has called these people. James has called them, in a metaphorical sense, murderers. They are assassinating each other's characters. This bitterness that they had towards one another, this envy and jealousy they had towards one another. You see, deep-seated in the heart, hatred is murder. It's the same as murder. And these Christians were assassinating the character and reputation of one another. And James calls them down on it. Speak not evil of one another. He's already implied it twice before when he speaks about the sins of the tongue. I just want to settle in on this a little bit this morning before we go into judging others. Save that for next week. But consider how prone we are to speak evil of others. How easy it is to speak down upon others. And how instant the gratification is. If we tear down someone else, we build up ourselves. It's a matter of pride. And how easy it is to slip into this. And how easy it is to listen to it and follow into it and enter into the entertainment and humor of it. Now, evidently, this was a prevalent sin in the Jewish churches James is writing to. And we have no reason to believe that this wasn't prevalent in the church in every generation. And we have no reason to believe that this is not prevalent in our generation. And yes, our church, our congregation to a given degree, is not guiltless of the sin of detraction. For the good of the church, for the glory of Christ, we are and we must watch and guard our speech. And we must be diligent in it. There is such an immense difficulty, as we've studied, in controlling the tongue. It's so easy to sin with the tongue. And we have to be on guard. The psalmist said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. With a bridle. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. Do you take your tongue, and especially this sin of detraction, as a real temptation? That if it's not watched, you will easily fall into it. It's such a prevalent sin that we are tempted with it every day. It's as prevalent as pride is, this sin of detraction. The psalmist said with resolve and determination, he said, I will take heed unto my ways, and I will keep my mouth with a bridle, with a muzzle. I'll muzzle my mouth. There is a dark enjoyment of making fun of others. And you know what I'm talking about. To belittle others. To slander others with humor. And most listeners enjoy it and enter into it. They may be glad you're saying it, not them, but they certainly enjoy it. Consider the motives which lead people into speaking evil against others. We've already mentioned pride as the root of evil speaking. There's vindictiveness. People are taking revenge upon others by hurting and injuring their reputation. It's revengeful. They circulate a story, try to tarnish somebody's reputation. There's envy. They see the success and position of others, and they think it should be theirs. And they're jealous and envious of it. And their mouths are full of detraction against such people. It's self-interest. If you destroy someone's reputation, you put them at a disadvantage and you put yourself at a better advantage. And it's vanity. It's vanity. The desire for prominence among men. Vanity. These are all behind the motive of the sin of detraction. I want to observe in the next place that evil speaking necessarily involves listeners. There are two sides of evil speaking. The one who speaks and the one who listens. Your ears may be more guilty than your mouths. If we listen to someone's evil speaking about others, we're entertaining these ill words. The person that listens becomes an accomplice to this sin. When you laugh at it, when you entertain someone's slander, gossip, you're partaking of the sin. You're encouraging the sin. You see, your ears may be more guilty than your mouth. Proverbs says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. When a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A naughty tongue. You see, when someone is gossiping and slandering another person's reputation, they should know that you don't approve of it. And if people are coming gossiping to you, there's something wrong. Because gossipers and detractors seek their prey. They go to the people who want to listen to them. And if you get a lot of gossip coming your way, that means you're a good listener. There's a proverb. Again, Proverbs 25:23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. You see, some people attract gossip like a magnet. It comes their way. There's something about their demeanor that people know they want to hear gossip. And they telegraph this desire. I want to hear, tell me. If a person knows you don't want to hear gossip, they're not going to tell you gossip. They're not going to come up to you with gossip because they know you disapprove of it. They're going to seek an easier prey than you. Gossipers want people to enter into their gossip, to be entertained by their gossip, to enjoy their gossip. and to revel in their gossip. If you show disapproval, they won't come to you and gossip anymore. Have you ever told anybody, you cannot talk that way about brother or sister so-and-so? I will not hear it. He is my brother or sister in the Lord. I have. They don't come back to backbite again to you. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. The Hebrew there for countenance is face. They see the disapproval in your face. They read your face. My dog can read my face. If I smile, all I have to do is smile. He reads my smile. He'll come up and put his paws on my lap because he knows he's not supposed to do that. But if I smile, I give him an opening. He's looking me at the face all the time. If I frown at him, he drops to the floor. He reads my expressions. If a dog can read my face, then a slanderer and a gossiper can read your face. Detractors are predators. They look for people that are going to listen to them and are going to entertain what they have to say about others. You see, so even though you might not be the one saying things against your neighbor or one another, you've invited it. Your demeanor has invited it. You see? And you're just as guilty. Your mouth, your ears may be more guilty than your mouth. What's the rule of thumb for us? In obeying this commandment, not to speak evil of one another, we must speak of our neighbor from the principle of charity. And I go to that great chapter of love in 1 Corinthians 13. And one of those things listed as a characteristic of Christian love is that love thinketh no evil. And that word thinketh there is logizomai. It's an accountant's term. Love does not count evil. Love does not make a ledger of one's faults, of one's sins. Love does not remember these things and pass them on to others. Love seeketh no evil or speaketh no evil. The Apostle Paul tells us to let all things be done with charity and to let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Love thinketh no evil. You see, there is an evil motive behind detraction. You don't hear that word too often today, detraction. It's an old word they used for slander and gossip was detraction. But I think it adequately presents the case well to detract from someone's reputation and character. So James is not getting any easier for us. Very straightforward. Just telling it like it is. And if he can tell it like it is by the Holy Spirit, we ought to be able to take it. So we just have to take it from James. Speak not evil one of another. Our Father, we confess that we're all guilty of detraction. We all have sinned in this way. God, keep a guard and watch over our tongue, for the tendency is great in this area. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.